Perhaps you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, and it's page 611 if you have a church Bible. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, we mentioned the other day that Isaiah, as he was prophesying about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, this was what we call some of the Messianic scriptures in Isaiah. And Isaiah, as moved by the Lord to speak these things out, this was something like 700 years plus before the actual birth of Christ. And this is amazing. So many prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the first coming of Jesus. And they were all accurately fulfilled. And there's many more prophecies, of course, concerning his second coming. So the fact that the first coming, when he came as a babe, was fulfilled accurately, gives us the assurance and confidence that all of the prophecies concerning him coming back will also be fulfilled. We don't know when, but we believe it can't be soon. So we need to be prepared. So, you see, in the olden days, many people were aware of these scriptures concerning that Messiah was coming, but the majority didn't recognize him when he came. So we need to be in the Holy Spirit, don't we? So that we discern the times and seasons and be ready for his coming. So in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, we read these words. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Wow. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. Well, we can agree with that, can't we? He is wonderful. He is wonderful. There's none like him. He's wonderful in his nature, in his character. He's wonderful in his grace, in his compassion. He is altogether wonderful to me. Is he to you? We can understand this wonderful. We can't grasp it in its completeness, but we know he is wonderful. He's a counselor. Counselor. He is our comforter. He counsels us. He comforts us. He brings to us his peace, his joy. He's the mighty God. He is God Almighty. There is none like him. Who can you compare Jesus with? You can't. He is Almighty, the awesome God who was there in the beginning. The Word was with God. He's mighty. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too deep? He is mighty. We can understand that a little, can't we? He is the everlasting Father. He had no beginning. Yes, he came when he came as in the form of a babe, in the form of a human. Yes, humanly speaking, he had a beginning. But eternal, he's always been there. These things are sometimes difficult for us to comprehend, but it's true. He had no beginning. The creator of the universe became created. Took on our flesh. That's incredible. This one is a little bit more difficult to comprehend, to understand. He is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. This one is more difficult, I think, for us to understand, because we have so many mixed messages when it comes to peace, don't we? Our understanding of peace. On the one side, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And the angels proclaim peace on earth, goodwill to men. And yet, on the other hand, Jesus says this in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10. Let me read it out. Jesus is saying this, okay. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. So he will be called the Prince of Peace. Peace on earth! Goodwill to me. And yet Jesus is saying, don't think that I've come to bring peace on earth. Let us just unpack that for a moment. The inevitable result of Christ coming the first time as a babe and growing up. Remember last week, last Sunday, we talked about when Jesus was how old? 30 years of age when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John, and the dove came down and said, this is my beloved son. Behold, this is my beloved son. And then Jesus spent 3.5 years about doing many wonderful things, great things, healing people, saving people, delivering people, also being very outspoken with the religious, with the hypocrites. Then he went to the cross because he said, it was for this purpose that I came. No one else was actually born to die, but Jesus was. And he died to take our sins upon himself, and he was resurrected. We sung some songs this morning which encompassed that, did we not? So, on the one side, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The angels proclaim peace on earth, goodwill to men. And yet, here we have, I have not come to bring peace on earth. The inevitable result of Christ coming is conflict. It is conflict. Why? Because there will be conflict between Christ and the Antichrist. There will be conflict between the children of Jesus, the children of God, and the children of the evil one. There is conflict between light and darkness. Isn't there? And the conflict can even occur between members of the same family. And some of us have choices to make. Either we put Christ first, or we compromise our faith to make peace, to keep peace within the family. But God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to be strong. Put me first, and then I will undertake the rest. I will strengthen you. So, yes, he is peace. But in this age, in this fallen world, there will be conflict when Jesus is around. Because light and darkness, praise God, when the light is there, darkness flees. So as well as we have our own observations, you know, how do we talk about peace? This year, 2009, there's been a lot of trouble in the world, hasn't there? A lot of conflict going on. There's still conflict going on. There's conflict going on in the Middle East. There's conflict going on in Afghanistan. There's conflict going on in many regions. A lot of war. So we will say, well, peace is where there is absence of war. That's how we could say that's peace. But it's so much more than that. Shalom. Shalom. Yes, That does mean cessation from hostilities, but it is also so much more: completeness, wholeness, the rest of God, the peace of God, completeness, harmony. To have shalom means not just to have peace, but also means to be fulfilled in every way. Of course, let's be honest, Luke chapter 2, verse 14, where it says, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all men." That's what the Authorized Version says. That is what the New King James Version says. But actually, the true translation of that, and the New American Standard, the New International Version says, is "Peace on earth, goodwill to all men, on whom his favor rest." On whom his favor rest. In other words, there is no peace to those who are displeasing God. But to those who are in faith, those who accept Jesus Christ, there is peace. Whatever hostility is going on around, whatever the circumstances are around, peace on earth is a wonderful message. Peace to you, because you're a person of peace. The hostility that was within, the enmity that was within against God has been done away. You have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. But if you're walking contrary to God, if you're not obeying the Bible, there is no peace. There is no peace, saith God, for the wicked. But for those who embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their friend, there is peace. Whatever trouble is going on all around, we can walk through in peace and in safety. Of course, to say there is only peace to those who truly believe is doesn't fit the God of niceness, does it? But we have to be faithful to the Word of God. I was thinking of the Chronicles of Narnia. Someone once asked one of the main characters if Aslan the lion was safe. They said, "Is Aslan safe?" And the character replied, "No, he isn't safe, but he is good." God is good. But he's not a God that we can just trifle with. He is a God to be feared. He's a God to be loved. He's a God to be worshipped. He's a God to be followed. Choose you this day whom you are going to follow. Is it going to be God? The Lord? Or is it going to be what you want for yourself? Just your pleasure. Self. So, how is Christ the Prince of Peace? Because his name is Prince of Peace. He's called Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord. How is he? Well, he is the one, as we've hinted, who makes peace between God and man. He makes peace between God and man. Ephesians 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off in your sins, you saw no beauty in you, you who once were afar off, have now been brought near by the blood of Jesus." By his chastisement, he was made sin for us. He is the Prince of Peace. Glory to God. And he makes peace in this life possible because of his saving work. We can know peace. Hallelujah. There's a beautiful scripture, again in Isaiah. There's lots of, these are great scriptures. But in Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. This is a promise. Isaiah 26 verse 3. You see, peace on earth, goodwill to all men on whom his favor. There is conditions. Hallelujah. Get this. We've just taught with children up the front that the greatest, best gift that we can receive is Jesus. It's a gift. We can't earn it. We can't save up our pocket money. We just receive the Lord by faith. He loves us so much that he was willing to come into this world to die for us, to take us. It's a gift. I can't merit it. I can't buy it. That's what Isaiah says again. Oh, everyone who's thirsty, come. Don't come with your money. You can't buy Jesus or receive him by faith. But having received the Lord by faith, having acknowledged that you are sinful, that you deserve death and hell, and then found love, mercy, and peace in God, we have to walk the pathway of disciple. Becoming a Christian, for us, can take a minute. Being a disciple is a lifetime. And so God is saying, look, if you're going to continue to know my peace, continue walking with me. Be faithful to me. Read the Bible. Pray to me. When your friends, your peers, and your family are trying to tempt you to do wrong, choose right, and I will be with you. I will strengthen you. I will give you my peace. That's conditional, you see. And here we've just read in Isaiah 26, you will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect. No imperfection here. Whose mind is stayed on you. It's a deliberate word. I want to read your word. I'm going to keep close to you, Lord. And even when I'm tempted and I want to do or say things which are wrong, I want to quickly say, sorry, sorry, sorry. Put it right with you. Ask for your forgiveness. And you'll keep me in peace. You will keep me. This is your promise. We have to believe this. Because he trusts in you. It's conditional. I'm trusting in you, Lord. I'm walking by faith each step of the way. I can't do it on my own. But you see, if you've now believed in Jesus, if you're a disciple, you have the Holy Spirit. Christ is living inside you, enabling you to walk the walk of a Christian. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, Jehovah the Lord, is everlasting strength. The Lord doesn't grow weary. We do, but he strengthens us. Even when we feel like fainting, we can soar with the eagles. This is the Lord we serve. So he makes it pleasing. Do you know he cares for you? How often am I? Hey, how often do you walk by faith? I hope we will increasingly walk by faith in Jesus and not in panic. Finally, Jesus says these words in the New Testament. These are great words. It's found in John's Gospel. Jesus said this, and he's talking to his disciples. He's in the upper room. It's just before he's going to go to the cross. So he's having a talk with his disciples. And it's in the Bible, in John's Gospel, so we can learn from it and take it on board. He says, a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And Jesus says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He is the Prince of Peace. We can I've told you this. I'm preparing you. So even though you can't see my face, by trusting in me, you can have peace. In this world, yeah, you're going to have trouble, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have tough time. Because you're a Christian, you're going to have difficulties and challenges. But take heart. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's a promise. That's thank you, Lord. Can't you thank God for that this morning? The Prince of Peace is yours. And then we have the scripture in Philippians. Rejoice in the, and I wrote this scripture down, I thought, I hope I'm going to be preserved from singing it, because there's a lovely little song. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Then it says, let your gentleness be known to all. Why? Yeah, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. Please, friends, let us humble ourselves before the Lord now, from the youngest to the oldest. This is the word of God. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So if you do that, okay, there's again a promise. We're talking about the Prince of Peace. And the peace of God, which transcends, passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Who you want today? Is that what you want today? There's a condition. Talk to the Lord about your worries, your fears, your problems. Moses spoke to Israel, didn't he? Do not fear, nor be discouraged. I don't know about you. Maybe for your circumstances at this moment, there seems to be something, and there doesn't appear to be a way out. You know, sometimes you, down at Tully's Farm, they have a maze, don't they? Who's been to the maze at Tully's Farm? Anyone? The adults have. It'd be good, you know, for your youngsters to go to this maze. You've probably been to mazes somewhere, and I get awfully confused in mazes. I can have a little bit of a panic in maze, especially if the hedges are taller than me and whatever, you know. But there doesn't sometimes seem a way out. You go down this way, that way, that way, that way, and then you end up where you began. This is crazy. But there is a way out. That is the purpose of a maze. You can find your way out. Sometimes there may be something in your life, in your circumstances, in your family, in your business, in your finances. I don't know. And there seems there's just a mountain. You don't know how to get out of it. There seems nowhere out. Well, he is saying, is he not? Do not be afraid. Stand still. That's an active standing still. It's a resting in God. And see the salvation of the Lord. See what God will do. If the problem looks too big for you, if it's too massive, he's saying to you, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise. Are you in faith or in disbelief? Any here this morning who feel you just cannot cope? You've been struggling, you can't cope anymore. What is the Lord saying? Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying from your word that you want to quicken to me right now? Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. That's a promise. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. The same hand that flung the stars in space will uphold you. When you're lacking peace, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to God, make your requests known to him, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, he will bring peace. Peace perfectly. Total peace when he comes again. Hallelujah! He is coming and he's going to reign. Every eye will see him. Every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And those who've walked with Jesus will share in his kingship. And his kingdom will know no end. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's a kingdom of peace and of righteousness. Hallelujah. So come, Lord Jesus. Amen.